We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Derek Nimmer and Barry Cryer in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And we welcome back to the program as our guest, Barry Cryer. Barry, who won his Spurs competing against our three regulars in the last series, has come back to try and take them on at their own game that they play so well. And they're going to try and do it once more, speaking for just a minute on a subject that I will give them without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And we begin the show this week with Derek Nimmo. And the subject is my resolution for this program. Can you talk on that, Derek, in just a minute, starting now?
My resolution for this program is to try to be a tiny bit amusing, slightly informative, but above all, to berate and abuse our totally inept chairman, with whom I have suffered many years, and find him getting increasingly tetchy, boring, and elderly as the years wander by. If I can achieve this great aim, and my resolution for this program, as I say, is to be ghastly and nasty to Nicholas Parsons, then I will leave this hall tonight a happier man. Because no greater joy can anybody give anyone than to be beastly to the horrendous NP. Even his wife doesn't care for him anymore. His children have long since fought against him, and I do think that he ought to be exposed. All very well, the Professor Blunts and people in this world being held up to ridicule, but this chap I'm talking about, he should be held up to the full glare of public gaze, so we can all see what a snivelling wretch that he is. And I hope...
Would you like to clear the audience? And get There's one waiting outside to come in. Fancy applauding that diatribe. That disgusting, unbelievable nonsense. Derek Nimmo has minus 2 points to start the program. And he kept going without being interrupted, because they were utterly amazed, my other three friends on the program, that anybody could speak in such a manner. But according to the rules of the game, he must be awarded a point for speaking as the whistle went, and also a bonus point for not being interrupted. Why should you get any bonuses for that? I've no idea. So we carry on with Clement Freud, and the subject is jogging. Clement, can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I'm not much of a one for jogging, because I take my exercise visiting those friends of mine who jogged and landed up in hospital. Many staircases and corridors have I trodden in order to visit the sad...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
I thought hesitation.
You thought correctly. Kenneth, you have a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject of jogging. And there are 43 seconds left, starting now.
I have done a bit of jogging. I do it in Regent's Park, as a matter of fact, and some very interesting people have jogged alongside me. And I must say, it's been a revolutionary occurrence in my own life, because I was always holding forth about the disadvantage of such activity. Now, 6:30 in the morning, to be jogging and seeing the sun come up over the post office tower.
Clement Freud is challenged.
The sun comes up from under the post office tower.
But usually...
Especially at 6:30 in the morning.
His phrase was perfectly correctly used, so he keeps the subject with 4 seconds to go on jogging, starting now.
I have a marvellous facility for jogging people's memory and saying, can you remember the occasion when...
So Kenneth Williams was speaking as the whistle went, got that extra point, and he's in the lead at the end of that round. I got a bigger round of applause when he was rude about me. Right, Kenneth, will you begin the next round? The subject is symmetry. 60 seconds starting now.
This must be ever present in that wonderful art of poetry. And was it not Blake who said, what immortal hand or eye could frame that awful symmetry? We all want to make it rhyme. That is the essence of symmetry itself. One of the finest exponents of the art, unquestionably, was Tennyson. When he writes, on either side the river lie long fields of barley and of rye that clothe the world and meet the sky. Going down to Camelot, there the symmetry is all the most beautiful, balanced, precise nature and a delight to our ears, and on the page our eyes. I said our twice, but only for the rest.
Sigmund Freud, you challenged.
Yes, he had.
Right, there are 6 seconds on symmetry, Clement, starting now.
2, 4, 6, 8 are what might be called non-symmetrical numbers.
So, Clement, Freud got the point for speaking as the whistle went. He's in second place. Kenneth Williams is still in the lead. Derek Nimmo's still with us, and Barry Cryer's yet to speak.
Good evening.
Good evening. Barry, it's your turn to begin. The subject, very apt, is town criers. You have 60 seconds starting now.
If one peruses the Doomsday Book, one will find frequent mention and reference to the word or name Crie, C-R-I-E-R, of Norman origin, from which I derive my own name, and from whence comes Crie de Ville, what we would call today a town crier, a still surviving race as a tourist attraction in city and town and village and market squares. They besport themselves, clad in traditional regalia, holding a bell, and crying forth, oh yes, oh yes, the origin of this...
So, Derek
Oh, no,
Nimmo.
Oh, no.
Yes, crying, oh, yes, twice.
Yes,
they
do.
Around it.
But they do, you see.
You see, yes.
They do.
They don't go around saying, oh, yes, twice, oh, yes, twice.
Yes.
Right, Derek, you have a correct challenge. There are 27 seconds. Town crier starting now.
The favourite town crier that I have seen is the one who is the official town crier to the city of Chester. And they've had a town crier there these many years. In fact, it goes back some 432 of the aforementioned periods in time. And when he wanders out into the marketplace, he says, oh, yes, oh, ditto, quite frequently, and rings a large handbell at the same time as he shouts to people what they can see at the local theatre.
So, Derek Nimmo took the subject, kept going till the whistle went, gained the extra point, and has taken the lead one ahead of Kenneth Williams. And, Derek, your turn to begin the subject, cocktails. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
I do find it terribly boring to be given at a party a gin and tonic or a whiskey and soda, and it's so nice to see the return of the cocktail. Many more people seem to be constructing cocktails these days. One of the nice things about going to America...
Kenneth Williams has joined.
You might do all kinds of things with cocktails. You might mix them, but you wouldn't construct them. You can construct a building, but you can't construct cocktails. You can only mix them. So it's deviated.
Kenneth, you have the subject, and you have 46 seconds on cocktails starting now.
I like a Manhattan, and I've had a Bronx once or twice, but it does tend to go to my head, and they say it's an aphrodisiac. So, of course, I have this terrible fear that I will make a fool of myself and come out with some appalling exhibitionistic thing that will put everybody else off, and then never invite me to their parties ever again. So I have to be careful about cocktails. I like the stick and a bit of the cherry and the look of it generally. And I do think that Derek Nimmo has a point when he says, rightly, that these ordinary drinks are boring compared with the glamour of this mixture.
So, Kenneth Williams has retaken the lead. And Clement Freud's going to begin the next round. The subject, the average man. Can you tell us something about him, Clement, in just a minute, starting now?
The average man almost by definition doesn't exist. For the record, he has 1.8 children. Now, that is a fairly difficult achievement, because 2, 3, or even 4 progeny would seem like a reasonable number, but a vulgar fraction when it comes to boy or girl...
Barry Cry,
1.8 is not a fraction.
Well, Chairman... 37 seconds, Barry, on the subject of the average man, starting now.
The average man does not exist. The term is meaningless. What are the criteria for the expression? Is it to do with height, weight, appearance, psychological makeup, physical achievement, size in shoes, colour of hair, race, religion, creed, politics? These terms do not exist in an actual...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of exists.
Yes.
Exactly.
Bad luck.
Oh, yes.
Yes, but well tried. There are 18 seconds left. The average man, Clement, with you starting now.
Advertising agencies are always very keen to try and discover who the average man is so that they can point...
Kenneth Williams.
Ah, I forget what it was you were
saying.
Hesitation.
That's right, well
hesitation,
done.
Hesitation, that's right.
There are 12 seconds on the average man with you, Kenneth, starting now.
Well, you've got the living proof of it with me. I am your average.
Deviation. No way is Kenneth Williams an average man.
I have, alas, to agree with Derek Minow about the most unaverage man I've ever met. But I say that as a great compliment. You needn't look like that. You're looking like a very average man now. So, Derek, you have the subject, and there are 7 seconds on the average man starting now.
In my opinion, Horace Picklewick represents for me the average man, and I saw him one day jogging round past Golders Green Cemetery.
At the end of that round, Derek Nimmo is equal in the lead with Kenneth Williams. But Kenneth's still staying there and out in front, and he's going to begin the next round. And the subject is John Hunter, the one who was born in 1728 and died in 1793. Will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
His services to medicine are too involved and indeed complicated to mention in the short span of time which is allotted to me. He did discover things like the embryology, the inflammation of the blood, and was the head of the surgical department at Barts. In the Peninsular campaign, he achieved an enormous amount, and at Belle Isle, on behalf of Her Majesty's forces, in improving the kind of treatment.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
In 1728, 1793, it couldn't have been Her Majesty's forces. His Majesty's forces. Deviation.
Rather clever, yes. It would be His Majesty on the throne then. So, yes. Queen Anne, 1714, so the Georges were there. And Derek Nimmo's got in with 19 and a half seconds to go on John Hunter, the one from 1728 to 1793, starting now.
John Hunter was married. That is an interesting fact, because this musician that went to their household put to music... lovely.
An awful lot of hesitation.
Yes, hesitation, right. And you've got in with only 1 second to go on the subject, Kenneth, starting now.
He wrote about the human teeth and the incredible thing was he was head of dentist for his time.
Kenneth Williams and Derek Nimmo got points in that round. Kenneth was speaking as the whistle went, and they're still both equal in the lead. Derek Nimmo, will you begin the next round? The subject, pears. A lot of variations on that word, and will you talk about it in just a minute, starting now?
When I saw the average woman, I said, what a lovely pair. And all the advertising agencies were delighted with my remark, because from that they were able to determine the cup size for this kind of person. And other kinds of pairs which interested these people who deal in...
Kenneth Williams. Yes, that's right, Kenneth. There are 45 seconds for you to talk on the subject of pears, starting now.
They're very nice if they're done in red wine. I think they can be really delicious. And the other thing you do is add a little cream
and probably put in some sugar.
Barry Cryer has chosen.
Only a friendly inquiry. We've changed course into another definition of pairs. Does that constitute
deviation?
Because Kenneth
he's
didn't announce
going
he was talking
on the subject of
it
pairs.
It was a lovely mental picture, but then I realised he was talking about fruit. Sorry. I apologize. Just an observation.
Don't apologize. The interruption was worth it. We enjoyed it. That's why we have you on the program, Barry. Well done. But alas, it was a wrong challenge, so Kenneth has another point, and there are 30 seconds on pairs starting now.
I know a man who pairs his nails so narrowly that they do damage the cuticles, and I've often said to him, your pairing is hopeless. And he said, I like to do this. Nice. I said, it's ridiculous. Because you look so awful. And people get quite the wrong impression, you see. And he said, well, it depends on what man's pairs, does to his own kind of sensibilities. And I don't really concern myself with what other people think.
This is unbelievable. It's so absurd.
They didn't challenge us. They didn't want it.
I don't know what the devil you were talking about.
Neither did I.
You didn't understand any of it,
and you did repeat and deviate, and goodness knows what.
Yes, they didn't want the subject. I've told you that's the only way you can win on this game, if they don't want it.
Well, they want it, but they don't want the subject. Right, now, you got a lot of points in that round, Kenneth, and you've gone into a very good lead. Keep it till the end, and you'll be our winner again. Clement, will you begin the next round? The subject, scope. You'll tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
Scope is a word which I frequently found on my children's school reports. A headmaster or other teacher would write, scope for improvement. We never actually knew what it meant. And I think, in all fairness, when I look at my sons and daughters, the...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Well, he's sort of packed up, hasn't he, really?
Yes. 40 seconds for you. Scope, Derek, starting now.
There is a lot of scope in this program for talking absolute rubbish on any number of subjects, such as jogging and symmetry, town criers, cocktails, the average man, John Hunter, who lived between 1728 and 93, and the average woman, and indeed,
Clement Freud, child.
Repetition of average.
Yes. He eliminated saying 17 twice, but he got it tripped up on average, and Clement, you got in with 26 seconds on the subject of scope, starting now.
Could do better.
Kenneth Williams is
child. Well, this has been entirely about educational establishments. It's not been out of scope.
Well, he did establish that was what was on the
report. He may have established it, but it's not what we're discussing, is it? We're not wanting that. I mean, just get on.
Now, I don't think he deviated from the subject.
Well, you may not think it, but I think it. And I haven't been heard of for ages. This audience wants to hear.
Well, that's the one thing I can say. When it comes to making a decision from the chair, it's what I think that goes and not what you think. Alas,
well, that's why you're so unpopular, you see.
Well, if I always did what you think, I'd be even more unpopular, and equally for any of the other three. So I disagree with the challenge. Clement keeps it. 15-second scope starting now.
Scope is also an anagram of both copes and pesco, the letter word meaning something to do with fish, while the former is the ability to carry out some function.
Kenneth Williams.
Well, we're talking not about scope now, but about fish and anagrams.
Yes, I agree with you. He was deviating now. So you've got him with 3 seconds to go on the subject of scope, starting now.
The program that gives the scope for my kind of talent hasn't been invented. There isn't a program that's been invented. It doesn't give me the right scope.
So, Kenneth Williams showed his scope in this kind of program, kept going for those 3 seconds, got the point for speaking as the whistle went, and with other points, he's increased his lead at the end of the round, and he's going to begin the next round. And the subject is thunder. So will you thunder on in that one for just a minute, starting now?
I had to produce the sound of thunder in the theatre by rattling a sheet. It was made of some peculiar tin and an alloy added, and the sound thundered.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Repetition of sound.
Yes.
Oh, you're awfully petty, aren't you? Good gracious, I hadn't even got underway, you know.
Well, you may not got underway, but you've got to try and get underway without repeating, and you did repeat the word sound, and there are 44 seconds left on Thunder, Derek, starting now.
The great god Thor, the thunderer, after whom the day of the week Thursday is named. On those great Njord...
So, his thunder ceased, and Kenneth, hesitation, 35 seconds, thunder starting now.
It has often been said of me that when I use the baritone range, there is a thunder in the voice which leaves the listener awed and full of admiration. Old Man Reborn. Wonderfully thunderous sound, which I alone, unless you count MacReady, am capable of producing. And they used to say about the times, the thunderer, and why isn't it on the bookstore?
Well, Kenneth really did thunder on then and kept going to the whistle when. Kenneth, all I can say is you've increased your lead once again. Barry Cryer, will you begin the next round? The subject, the romantic movement. Will you tell us something about that? In just a minute, starting now.
Hesitation.
Oh, shut up. Half a second, our guest, who doesn't play the game regularly...
Not even during it.
No. Right, Barry, you have a point for an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject, the romantic movement, and there are 59 and a half seconds, starting now.
The expression, the romantic movement, would be generally construed as referring to poets. In my case, I demean the expression by relating it to the movement of romance. In other words, the onset of rheumatism, fibrositis, and neuralgia have severely limited me in this.
Well, you're not
supposed
to
bang on the table because it causes vibration. It ruins the microphone.
When you trip yourself up like that, it's very difficult not to give vent to your feelings, which Barry Cryer
did. Nicholas,
He thundered his feelings through the microphone by banging on the table. Derek Nimmer got in with the correct challenge. And Derek Nimmer, you start now.
Right. Now, the romantic... One of the most romantic movements that I ever saw was when I saw Kenneth Williams in Regent's Park jogging.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of I saw.
Yes, you saw too much, and... there are 33 seconds left for Clement Freud to talk about the romantic movement starting now.
I sang Old Man River, but there was so much commotion.
Derek Nemo challenge.
Repetition of Old Man River.
No, it was Kenneth Williams, and it was in the last round as
you
well.
You said it twice then. I sang Old Man River. I heard it.
It's the Oh Yes syndrome again.
No, he didn't.
He did.
Well, you were making so much noise, I couldn't have heard him.
Well, I wasn't saying...
Stick to your guns, Nicholas. Stick to your guns.
Right, Clement, you have 28 seconds on the romantic movement, starting now.
A long way from the romantic movement comes our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. Nicholas Parsons has nothing to do with the romantic movement.
This is one of those things I obviously can't judge on, so I'm going to let you be the deciders if I've anything to do with the romantic movement. And if you agree with Kenneth's challenge, you cheer for him, and if you disagree, you boo for me, and you all do it together now. Oh, I'm overwhelmed. I'm something to do with the romantic... No, it's not. What's that? No, not. Kenneth Williams said I was nothing to do with the romantic movement. You agree with Kenneth, so he has the...
He's just gaga.
Yes.
Rambling on. Doesn't listen to the questions anymore, let alone the answers. No, what's going on?
And after having sat with you, Paul, for as long as I have this evening, I'm entitled to be gaga. So there we are.
Repetition.
Thank you. Who said yes? Bless you, darling. Join the clan. Kenneth, you have a correct challenge according to the audience. And you have 23 seconds on the romantic movement starting now.
It was very much a reaction to the 18th century and the age of reason and was epitomized in poetry, unquestionably, by figures like Byron and Keats and Shelley. "Hail to thee, blithe spirit," he wrote. "And when you think of those lovely lines, we'll go no more roving."
So, Kenneth Williams took the romantic...
Yes, and I did a sort of nasal effect there. Did you notice?
Yes.
You noticed that?
Yes.
Because I thought it would colour it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But it needed colouring. You know, because your voice is so dreary, Parsons. You see. Dreary. They wanted a bit of colour, you know.
I was just about to make a very nice comment. The only man I know who can make the romantic movement sound good down his nose. So, let me now give you the final score, because we have no more time to play just a minute. Let me tell you that our guest, Barry Cryer, in spite of the tremendous value he contributed to the programme, did finish up in fourth place. Well done, Barry. Congratulations and bad luck.
Thank you, sir.
Derek Nimmer, in spite of the revolting remarks he makes about the chairman, who is consistently fair and kind, finished up in third place with a lot of points. He was just behind Clement Freud, but there's no doubt about it, way out in the lead was this week's winner, Kenneth Williams. I must explain to our listeners...
Don't explain nothing, cut the row.
I must explain to our listeners that if they thought the cheer for our winner this week was out of all proportion to the usual cheer that our winner gets, it was because Kenneth Williams left the platform and joined the audience to lead the cheering. He did it magnificently. He's going to bring the same audience in when he plays again. And we hope that our listeners will want to tune in again at the same time to hear us play the game. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.